Ah, you're here. Good.
A ghost couldn't dig a grave, make John strangle me to death.
Lights out, everybody.
Welcome to the Old Time Radio Cast, where we take the most terrifying tales from the golden age of radio, clean them up, and remaster them for your listening pleasure, truly preserving the very best era of audio entertainment with stories of suspense, mystery, and horror. This time around, in keeping with the theme of debonair vigilante detectives, we'll be visited by the Shadow, one of the most infamous radio characters in history. Much like the Saint from our previous episode, the Shadow's adventures existed on many platforms such as comics, TV, and film. Portrayed by many talented actors, we'll join the Shadow, a man capable of clouding others' minds to become invisible, as he is played by my favorite of the bunch, Orson Welles, in the radio plays Hounds in the Hills, followed by The Tomb of Terror. Enjoy.
Now again comes radio's strangest adventurer, the Shadow, mystery man who strikes terror into the very hearts of shopsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. Today on the air, Blue Coal brings you the Shadow's latest adventure, Hounds in the Hills. In just a moment, the Shadow's exciting adventure will begin. Meanwhile, I have an important message for everybody. We are now in the midst of the most treacherous season of the entire year. But you can protect your family's health during this danger period by burning Blue Coal. For Blue Coal gives you clean, uniform, healthful heat all winter long. And its harmless blue coloring is your guarantee of better heat at less cost. So when you order fuel, insist on Blue Coal. It's Pennsylvania's finest anthracite. Your nearest Blue Coal dealer will be glad to send you a trial ton. Phone him tomorrow. High in the pine-clad hills of North Carolina, where backwoods living is neighbor to palatial winter homes, there is a haunted mansion, relic of former grandeur. With no visible means of support, old Sadie, haggard, half-demented creature, and Jake, her hunchback son, live in one wing of the dilapidated old house. A pack of great, vicious, cross-breed hounds guards the old place from intruders. It is early evening. In the dim half-light, two figures, led by one of the hounds, approach the house.
Home to my mother and daddy. I don't like anything here. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. Don't you touch me. you crazy old fool! You done it again!
Your golf's improving.
So, Cranston, you don't always miss the ball, eh?
Well, that's what a vacation in North Carolina does for you. Especially when you're the host, Mr. Rupert.
I thought you were always on vacations, Lamont. I've never heard of you doing anything except dabbling in that mysterious laboratory of yours.
Yes, just a playboy.
Yes, I just dabble. A little science, a little chemistry, a little psychology. Just dabble.
Someone's calling you, Gary.
He's been in a hurry.
Well, it's the sheriff. I hope I haven't done anything wrong.
Perhaps he saw you drive, Gary.
Mr. Rupert.
Yeah?
Sorry to bother you.
Well, what is it, Sheriff?
Another child's lost. Gone over the cliff at the border trail.
What? Another one?
Yes, sir. Little Dickie Nelson this time.
Oh, good Lord, Sheriff. This is horrible.
Child lost? Is that what you said, Sheriff?
Yes, sir. Fourth in less than 2 weeks.
Lost? How?
On the border trail over cliff there.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, what is this trail, Gary?
Well, it's a narrow pathway along the rim of a high cliff. It washes out so that a slip on the gravel starts a slide right over the cliff.
And you mean to say four boys have been lost there in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Four?
Yes, but doesn't it strike you there might be something more than just fate causing the disappearance of these children?
Well, but what?
That I don't know. Gary, I'd like to look at this cliff.
Look, Mr. Cranston. You see how the trail washes out down the cliff?
Yes, yes.
That's 1,000 feet straight down there.
The river at the bottom.
Yeah, I reckon the current must carry the bodies away. We haven't found a trace of them.
I don't suppose there's any doubt about what happened to the boys.
No, Miss Lynn. When Bobby Mina disappeared last week, we found a ball he'd been playing with.
Would you call that conclusive evidence?
Well, this morning we snared up Dickie Nelson's cap that was caught on some shrubbery partway down the mountain.
Mm.
Of course, some of the colored folk around here think Ghost done it.
Ghost?
Yeah. See, they were howling last night about the time Dickie was lost here.
What kind of howling, Sheriff?
Darned if I know, sir. They say they heard it the 3 times the other boys were lost. But you know how they are, colored folks up here in the hills. Superstitious.
Yes. But what kind of a howl does a ghost make in this part of the country, Sheriff?
And that's what I asked. About as near they could describe it, it was like a dog howling. A hound dog.
Well, I've generally found that a dog howling means a dog. Perhaps I'd better reverse the usual procedure. The dog trailing a man.
It's all very mysterious, Lamont.
Yes, it is, Margot. Will you excuse me for a moment, Sheriff?
Yes, certainly, Mr. Cranston.
Margot, I think the shadow will look into this mystery.
But how?
Go back to the house, Margot. I'll wireless you. I need help. In my invisible state as the shadow, I'm going to follow the clue of the dogs. Let's see where it leads me.
Sadie or Jake see you?
No, it's dark in here. But even with a light on, people can't see me because I've learned how to make them think they don't see me. I blind their eyes to me. way to get you and the other boys out of... Quiet. Somebody coming.
If the sheriff finds these kids here, they'll hang us, you crazy old fool!
Jake, now don't you touch my baby. He's my Jakey. He's you before you came a hunchback. If you kill him, you'll be killing yourself. He's you, Jake.
You keep away from me. Don't you touch me.
Jake, don't touch that boy.
Who's that?
I heard it, too.
Give me that lamp.
I heard it, too, Jake.
Nobody's in here but us. Us and the kid. He got out.
No, I'm still here.
The voice. Ain't nobody with us.
I heard it, too. Well, that's nothing, Jake. I'm always hearing voices. And now you're hearing them. We're both crazy.
Reckon it ain't so crazy a voice can scare me. I'm crazy like you, then voices ain't real. Now put this kid out of the way, and then I'll get the others.
No, stop. Please don't hit me with that stick.
Stick, Jake. Put it down.
Now. I ain't scared of voices that ain't real.
I said drop it.
Who hit me? Look. Look at that place on my wrist. Look.
Well, Jake, I've been hearing voices for a long time, but I ain't never been hit by one.
You done it.
Oh, I did not. I wasn't near you.
Then it was the kid.
I never moved.
Well, then who?
I hit you, Jake. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to save yourself. Let this boy go. Bring the other boys here. I'll take them home.
No, no, they're mine. They're mine. They're Jake. No.
I'll get rid of them my way.
Please help me. I want to go home.
Trust me, Dickie. There's only one thing for me to do now. Jake, this is your last chance.
What? Who's that? You reckon it's somebody looking for the kids? If it is...
Jake, it must be them. The Duke and Slim coming to hide out. Listen. Yeah, it's him. Oh, Jake, he'll kill us both if he knows about my baby.
Well, what he don't know won't hurt him. Shut the door to the kid's room and lock it.
Yeah, hurry up, Jake, let him in. But don't say a word about my baby.
Don't worry. Yeah. Maybe I'm crazy, too, but I ain't that crazy.
Well, what took you so long, Jake?
Hello, Duke.
Come in, Slim. Hurry up. Shut the door.
Okay, Duke.
Yeah, what a dump this is. That's better than being in jail up north. If we didn't have this hideout, that's where you'd be. Hello, old Sadie.
Come in, Duke. I'll slap you again.
Shut up. That half-witted old dame talks too much.
Hey, are you staying for a while, Duke?
What's it to you?
I don't care.
Oh, lay off the guy, Slim. Jake, and you too, old Sadie.
Yeah?
We're taking a little rest away from the cops. See? Turn the dogs loose in the yard around the house so they can chew up anybody that comes here looking for us. Go on, Jake. Do it now.
All right, Duke.
Just a minute, Jake.
Who's that? Somebody's in here, Duke.
The voice again, Jake. They can't hear it unless they're crazy, too.
That voice again.
Yes, Jake, that same voice. And the Duke can hear it, too. Can't you, Duke?
Say, what's going on here? Who is that?
I tell you, it's in here, Duke.
Who's playing tricks on me?
Duke, did you ever hear of the Shadow?
The Shadow?
I have, Duke. I know, that's the guy that talks to you, but you can't see him.
Shut up, you fool. Yes, Shadow. I've heard about you. I never believed what I heard, though.
You can believe it now. Listen, Duke. I'm here for only one purpose. To save the lives of four little children.
Oh, don't believe him. It's a lie.
Shut up. I'm handling this. Go ahead, Shadow. Go ahead. Talk some more.
All right. Old Sadie and Jake there put you in a tough spot.
How, Shadow?
Old Sadie is crazy. She's... Well, shall we say... borrowed. Four little boys from places near here and made it appear that they were killed. Killed falling over a cliff.
It's a lie. They was killed. I killed them and my Jakey took their place.
Duke, the old dame is back.
Shut up.
Jake here is almost as crazy as his mother, but he wants to kill the boys.
Don't believe him, Duke.
Either way, you'll be arrested for kidnapping.
Hey, Duke, we don't want no part in kidnapping.
Well, Shadow... what's the proposition?
If you let me take the boys away back to their homes, you won't be accused of kidnapping.
And give you a chance to tip off the police to where we're hiding out? Oh, no. Let them have it, Slim.
Hey, look, Duke, the door. He went out the door.
He's gone, Duke. He's gone. We can't get him now.
Oh, yes, we can.
How?
The dog. If the Shadow's a man, them dogs can follow his scent.
If the Shadow is a man, you mean the dogs will trail him by his scent? Even though we can't see him?
She's right, Duke.
But we haven't got anything to give the dogs to smell, to give them the scent.
Maybe he left something in the kid's room. Let's go and see.
Let's look around here.
He's too clever to have left anything behind.
Hey, where'd the boy get that handkerchief he's sniffling into?
Handkerchief, huh? He never had no handkerchief when he come here.
Who gave you this handkerchief, little boy?
A man.
What man?
A man who spoke to me in the dark.
You couldn't see him?
No. He said I had to believe he was here, although I couldn't see him.
Then it's the shadows.
Get the dogs. Get the dogs. They can get a scent from that handkerchief and trail him. The shadow can't escape this time.
The Shadow's adventure continues in just a moment. Meanwhile, I'd like to say a few words about a subject that's uppermost in everyone's mind these days, how to save money. Large savings in cooking and heating costs can be made by switching to blue coal, for blue coal is the perfect home fuel. It is the best grade of Pennsylvania anthracite, and anthracite is the fuel that furnaces, cooking stoves, and parlor heaters in New England were designed to use. Blue coal gives off a steady, clean heat. It lasts longer and burns down to a fine, powdery ash without giving off smoke or grime common to many other fuels. Blue coal's cleanliness will appeal to New England housewives, for housekeeping is greatly simplified when blue coal is used, because with this dependable fuel, you not only have a more comfortable home, but a cleaner house inside and out. These are the reasons why blue coal is so popular in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Sales in Pawtucket this winter are 12% ahead of sales for the same period a year ago. Here's another point. You buy American when buying blue coal. It is mined and prepared in Pennsylvania by the Glen Alden Coal Company, especially for home use. So for economy and cleanliness, start using blue coal tomorrow. Order it by name. Phone your nearest blue coal dealer. You'll find him listed in the Where to Buy It section of your classified telephone directory under the name Blue Coal.
Behind the trees, if you think you can sneak back to the house.
All right, Duke, all right.
Slim.
Yeah, Duke?
If Jake starts falling back anymore, trying to lose us among the trees in the dark so he can go back to the house and finish off them kids, let him have it.
Okay, boss.
I wasn't. Honest, I wasn't.
Okay, then come on.
Hey, you, Jake. Ain't those dogs liable to turn on us?
Yeah, if you was alone. Yeah, but I'm with you.
You hear that, Duke? The dogs have got the shadow. It's lucky for us he left his handkerchief with the kids so the hounds could get the scent, ain't it, huh?
Yeah. Now, there's only one or two things for the shadow to do. Stand and be chewed by them beasts, or else climb a tree. He's not invisible to a dog's nose. They can smell him.
If he's climbed a tree, we got him, Duke.
Hey, there's the dogs jumping around that tree. Right there. See him?
Well, what do we do now?
Well, we can't do much while it's dark.
What do you mean?
I mean, we gotta keep the shadow treed until it's daylight.
Yeah, but you can't see him, whether it's light or dark.
That's right. Maybe he's beating us after all.
Listen, if we wait till daylight, then we can see where he is in the tree.
But you can't see where he is.
Yeah, but when he comes, he has to shake the branch he's sitting on. And when we see any of them leaves shaking, we'll shoot right at that place.
It'll be like shooting at nothing.
I know. Hey, if we don't get him that way, he has two other things to choose from.
Yeah, what's that?
We can keep him treed until he gets so weak he can't work his invisibility gag anymore. And he comes down. And then the dogs get him.
Well, there's nothing to do but wait till morning then.
No. But we gotta keep awake. Morning ain't far off. And then we'll see.
Hey, Duke. I got to thinking, sitting here last night.
What about them kids?
Well, Slim, what about them?
We didn't do it, but they can pin a kidnapping rap on us.
Not without evidence, Slim.
No, but she... Oh, I get it. No evidence, huh?
That's right.
No kids.
What do you think?
Yeah. Jake here don't want no evidence either.
As soon as we dispose of the man who calls himself the Shadow, no one will know.
And then Jake here gets rid of the kids.
That's right.
Yeah, but how about Jake and old Sadie?
I think they could disappear and not be missed.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, Duke, look. We can see the whole tree now. But I don't see nobody.
No, of course not. But he's there. Now watch carefully, Slim. There's no wind. Any limb or branch that moves may be the Shadow.
Yeah.
So when something moves, let him have it.
I get it. Hey, but how do we know when we get him?
He'll come down, Slim. Now you miss, Slim. Take your time.
Hey, what's that?
I thought I saw a branch move. We're shooting at the Shadow, Jake.
And when he's unconscious or dead, we can see him all right. And then...
You didn't do so good yourself, Duke.
Those dogs are hungry.
Yeah. I bet they look nice from up in the tree, waiting for their breakfast.
How can you shoot him if you can't see him?
Shut up, Jake. Now, take your time, Slim.
Good morning, Duke.
He's there.
Good morning, Shadow.
I hope you slept well.
Oh, yeah. And you? Now, watch close, Slim.
Yeah, yeah.
Would it be too much for me to ask, how are the little boys?
They're all right, Shadow. So far.
That's good.
Yeah, but I'll get rid of him.
Slim, get around the other side of the tree. I think he's low in the tree, behind the trunk.
Okay, Duke.
We're taking care of you first, Shadow. You know too much. Well, what's funny, Shadow?
I'm laughing at you, Duke.
Oh, yeah? You laugh different when I get my hands on you.
Why don't you come up here and try it?
I don't have to. You'll come down.
You'll have a long wait.
Oh, yeah?
Can't you say anything but oh, yeah? You're really quite stupid, Duke.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm smart enough to get you out of that tree.
Good. I was getting rather bored.
Ah, shut up. Hey, Slim. Go back to the house and get an axe. This tree ain't too big to cut down.
Very ingenious.
Yeah, but the dogs. It ain't safe to leave without Jake.
The dogs, they won't touch you. They're after the Shadow. And Jake will keep them here.
Sure, sure. I'll keep them here, sure.
And hurry back, Slim.
Now, scram.
Okay, Duke. But don't let them dogs come after me.
Jake will keep the dogs here.
Okay, watch it.
Now, hurry back, Slim. Hey, Jake. Call the dogs off. They're going after Slim.
Yeah, they don't like him.
Hey, call it back. Slim, look out. Jake, the dogs are attacking
him. Yeah, they're going to eat him.
I'll shoot him, Slim.
Ah, guess you didn't shoot him soon enough, Duke.
Well, Jake, your dogs got Slim. I'm afraid you've lost most of them.
Yeah. Ma'll be awful mad. There's only Big Tom left. But the Duke will shoot him.
No, he won't. His gun's empty. Look at him go up that tree.
Yeah. Big Tom didn't get him. Now you're both up in the tree, ain't you?
No, Jake. I'm standing right here behind you. Now do what I tell you. Go over to that tree and tie Big Tom to it. So that the Duke can't get down.
Why should I?
You want to get those kids out of the way, don't you? Duke won't let you.
Yeah. He won't, maybe. Yeah, he won't let me, maybe. Hey, I won't tell him what I'm going to do.
Jake, call off this dog. Tie him up, do you hear me? Tie him up. No, not to my tree, you dope. Take him away. Listen to me. Don't tie him there, you halfwit.
Well, Duke... We change places.
I'll get you if it's the last thing I do, Shadow.
You're going to have plenty to do before we meet again. Jake, come back here.
Yeah.
You'll have plenty of time to think about that. Here are some men that may help you out.
Who are they?
My Lord, what happened here?
I don't know, Sheriff. Say, this is the hunchback, Jake. Hello, Jake.
Duke's up in the tree. Yeah, look out, Sheriff.
Got him. Reckon that dog won't attack anyone else.
You killed him!
Now, if our friend will come down out of the tree, I'll be delighted to put a pair of handcuffs onto him. I've been looking for him and his partner for some time. From the looks of things, I won't need to put the cuffs on his partner.
Well, Marco, you better go back to the cars.
All right. Yes, I think I will. I only wanted to see if... Yes, I'll go back.
All right, men. Let's take him away.
Margo. Margo.
Oh, Lamont. Lamont, are you all right?
Yes, but don't speak my name here.
Darling, I was so frightened when I got your wireless message. I thought it was the end.
So did I. Are the boys all right?
Yes, all the boys are safe. They've been taken into town. A deputy sheriff took old Sadie along. Dickie Nelson is in one of the cars up the road waiting. Oh, Lamont, I feel so sorry for that poor old woman.
So do I, Margo. She's demented. We must see that she's placed in an institution, not a prison. A place where she can satisfy her mother-love mania with dolls instead of other people's children. Go to the car, Margo. I'll meet you there.
What are we waiting for, Miss Lane? I want to go home to my mother.
Just a minute, Dickie. I'm expecting someone.
Who?
Oh, here he comes now.
Hello, Margo.
Hello, Lamont.
Who is this young man?
This is Dickie Nelson. Dickie, Lamont Cranston.
Hello, Mr. Cranston.
Well, Dickie, I hear you had quite an adventure last night.
Yes. A kind man came to my room at that terrible house, but I couldn't see him.
Well, maybe you dreamt it, Dickie. Supposing we keep it a secret, just between us three.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
All right. But it was a swell dream.
And here is John Barclay, Blue Coal's heating expert, with some interesting information for you.
Thank you, Ken Roberts. Good evening, friends. The health and comfort of your family during this period of widely varying temperatures depends to a great extent on whether your heating plant delivers steady, even heat when you need it. And the efficiency of your heating plant depends upon the proper use of furnace dampers. Here are some helpful hints on the proper use of these dampers. First, the turn or the smoke pipe damper should never be used for day-to-day control of heat. This damper should always be kept as nearly closed as possible without retarding the free burning of your fire. If you do not have automatic thermostat control of your furnace, the everyday control of heat should be left to your check damper, that flap-like damper located on your chimney pipe and the ash pipe damper. To get more heat through your house, close the check damper and open the ash pit damper. Always remember, when one is closed, the other should be open. If the house is warm enough, close the ash pit and open the check damper. The proper location of these dampers is important. The check damper should be between the chimney and turn damper, the latter being between the check damper and the furnace. If the dampers are in this position, they are properly placed. And if operated in the manner that I have just explained, you should not experience any trouble in maintaining an even temperature in all parts of your home. However, if you do have trouble with your furnace, phone your nearest Blue Coal dealer and ask him to send a John Barclay serviceman to your home. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barclay. And friends, take Mr. Barclay's tip. Phone your nearest Blue Coal dealer. Have him send a John Barclay serviceman to your home tomorrow. You have just heard a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine. All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
As you sow evil, so shall you reap. Evil. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station. Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite, will again present another thrilling adventure of The Shadow. Be sure to listen, and be sure to burn Blue Coal, the solid fuel for solid comfort.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a moment, the Shadow will be on the air with a thrilling new adventure. But first, let me tell you about a new kind of tire that makes wet weather driving safer than you've ever dreamed possible. It's the new Goodrich Silvertown tire with the Lifesaver tread. Next time it rains, just notice the way your windshield wiper sweeps the water right and left to give you clear, safe vision. Well, that's how the amazing Lifesaver tread on the new Goodrich Silvertown tire performs on a wet road. It sweeps the water right and left, forces it out through the deep drainage groove, makes a dry track for the rubber to grip, gives you the quickest non-skid stops you've ever seen. And you get this life-saving skid protection plus golden ply blowout protection at no extra cost. So play safe. Equip your car with Goodrich Safety Silvertown. Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Tomb of Terror.
And so, gentlemen, we are gathered here on the grounds of the City Museum to pay tribute to those who have successfully brought to this country the building that stands before you, the authentic tomb of the Egyptian pharaoh, King Khufratep. It is my pleasure to present to you now the man who is largely responsible for its discovery, transportation, and reassembly, the director of the expedition, Dr. Romney Hale.
Thank you. Thank you. Directors of the museum and fellow workers, I am very grateful. It has been through your cooperation that this work has been made possible. Although perhaps we owe a vote of thanks to good King Khufratep himself. In spite of the legendary curse that all who gaze upon King Khufratep's mummy shall die, the bulk of our job is finished. Now, before you are admitted for the inspection, will you excuse Mr. Avery, Mr. Johnson, and myself while we make a brief check of the interior of the tomb? Harry, Jack, will you come with me?
Oh, surely, Doctor.
Oh, certainly, Doctor.
Well, gentlemen, how does the place look to you?
Why, Doctor, you've done an amazing job.
It looks exactly as it did when we first unearthed it in Egypt.
Thank you. Would you like to pay your respects to His Majesty?
Oh, indeed I would, Doctor.
Very well. Will you help me with the lid of the mummy case?
Oh, sure.
There you are. Khufratep the king, lord of Egypt.
My magnificent face.
Yes, wonderfully preserved.
We are defying the ancient curse by looking upon that face.
Oh, come, Dr. Hale. Surely you don't believe
this. Look. Look at the mummy's eyes.
Why, that's strange. They seem to glow.
Yes, I see it, too. Sort of unearthly light.
What is this, Doctor, a trick?
No, gentlemen, I give you my word. I don't know what it could be.
The light's growing brighter.
I don't like this. It's uncanny.
Close that case.
Let's get out of here, Doctor.
I can't understand it. If we hadn't all seen it, I would...
Oh! Doctor Hale, what's the matter?
Take his arm, Jack. Let's get him outside.
What's wrong? What's the matter with Doctor Hale?
I don't know. He suddenly collapsed. He was...
Jack, what's the matter with you? Someone get a doctor, quick. These two men are very ill. Harry, what happened in there?
Well, Mr. Rafferty, I was...
Harry!
Catch him, he's falling.
Harry, look. Here, man, tell me, what happened?
Mr. Rafferty, it was... The eyes.
Yes.
It...
It's King Kufertep's curse.
Doctor. Doctor, tell me, how are they?
All three of these men are dead.
Hold those fences.
What do you got, Chief?
A terrific yarn. Dr. Romilly Hale, the archaeologist, and two of his assistants died mysteriously an hour ago in King Cooper's tomb. Play up the curse angle and spread it for all it's worth.
Dried two, cream on a side.
Some of those donuts, too, please.
Oh, donuts? Lamont, do you suppose we can dunk?
Well, certainly, Margot. Lunch wagon etiquette not only allows dunking, it encourages it.
There's your donut, Chief. That'll be 26.
Here you are. Just keep the change.
Ah, thanks. Say, bud, is there anything new on them guys that kicked off over at that the kipper, you know, that Egyptian king?
No, nothing new.
Hey, how about my ham on rye?
Right with you.
Just what do you make of that tomb affair, Lamont?
It's most amazing, and the newspapers are playing up the superstition fallacy.
You don't think that all three deaths were due to coincidence?
Well, hardly that, but I certainly don't hold to the Kufertep curse theory.
But something strange must have happened in that tomb.
Unquestionably.
According to the newspaper reports, one of the three men before he died was heard to mutter something about eyes, terrible eyes. And his last words were King Kufertep's curse.
They were undoubtedly terrified by something they saw in there. They did not die of fear.
Oh, I know. According to the doctors, they all died natural death.
Yes, that's quite true.
One of pneumonia, one of typhoid, and one of heart disease.
That's the way the doctors had to write their death certificates. Perhaps when the truth is known, it will have to be changed.
Changed? What? Well, what do you mean, Mama?
You finished eating?
Oh, yes.
Shall we take a walk?
Oh, all right. Let's go.
Good night, boys.
Good night.
Night. Lamont, what did you mean the death certificates will have to be changed?
Three men do not die within seconds of one another of different diseases without a single underlying cause.
Oh, that's true.
Margot, the mysterious death of those three men has challenged the imagination of the shadow. I must find out the medical details of the death of those men.
Then you think there's more in it than the papers have printed?
I know there is.
I can get those details for you.
Good. As soon as you have the necessary information, communicate with me. The shadow will await your call. Hello.
Lamont, this is Margot.
Oh, yes, Margot. What did you find out?
I just talked to Dr. Burley, he's in charge of the case.
Yes?
He said that the three men actually died, as the paper said, but there was one detail that was not printed.
What is that?
Well, the doctors themselves don't seem to understand it, but an examination of the victim's blood has shown in each case a complete absence of leukocytes.
Leukocytes? Yeah. Those are white corpuscles.
Yes.
Do you realize what that means? Without white corpuscles in the blood, the human system would have nothing with which to combat disease. No wonder they died. Margot, this is the first key to the mystery. Perhaps the shadow can find the answer to the next question within the museum walls.
I tell you, we must go through with the public opening of the tomb, as originally planned.
But will the public be there?
We'll have to take that chance.
Gentlemen, I wish we'd never started this project.
Now, see here, Kent, you've been acting like an old woman about this whole thing.
But, Mr. Rafferty, I...
We've poured thousands of dollars of the museum's money into the tomb, and it's up to us to dispel this nonsense about the Kufertep curse.
I am not so sure that it is nonsense.
Rubbish.
Oh, you can't dismiss the fact that three men died.
They all died natural death.
I wouldn't be too sure about that, Mr. Rafferty.
Who's speaking?
Who is that?
I am called the Shadow.
The Shadow?
What's this? I've heard of you. What do you want of us?
I've been investigating the deaths of your three colleagues. I've come to warn you that no one must be permitted within the walls of the tomb.
Why do you say that?
Because anyone who enters may not come out alive.
Are you implying that there is truth in the Kufertep curse?
I am telling you, Mr. Rafferty, I have reason to believe that the name of the curse of Kufertep is cold, premeditated murder.
Nonsense.
Not nonsense, Mr. Stevenson.
With all respect to your unsolicited information, we are not going to be intimidated by an unknown voice.
Speak for yourself, Mr. Stevenson. I am inclined to respect the Shadow's warning.
Quiet, Kent. On what grounds, Shadow, do you base your statement?
You'll have to accept what I've said on faith.
I've had enough of this.
Wait, Mr. Stevenson. We may learn more.
No. I'm going to rid us of this hocus-pocus once and for all.
Yes. What do you propose to do, Stevenson?
I'm going into that tomb tonight, right now.
Don't do that, Mr. Stevenson.
I know what I'm doing, Shadow. Well, who'll accompany me? Don't tell me that you're all afraid.
Why, no, not at all.
But perhaps none of us should be too hasty.
Very wisely spoken, Mr. Rafferty.
Very well. Then I shall go alone.
You are very foolhardy, Stevenson.
We shall see. Who has the key to the tomb?
I have, Mr. Stevenson, but...
Now, give it to me.
Mr. Rafferty, can't you persuade him to change his mind?
Don't you think, Stevenson, we might... Give me the key.
Very well. Here you are.
Thank you.
Wait. We'll accompany you to the door of the tomb.
All right.
You may be going to your death, Stevenson.
I'll chance that. Come along, then. Well, here we are. Have any of you changed your mind? Mr. Rafferty?
No, thank you.
Hawkins?
I prefer to wait outside.
I know. There's no use asking you, Kent.
Don't go in there, Mr. Stevenson. Something horrible waiting for you in there.
Give me that flashlight. I'll find that out for myself.
He's in the tomb.
Nothing horrible has happened in here yet.
Don't touch the mummy case.
Why not? Might as well make the investigation complete.
Don't, Stevenson. You mustn't. Can't any of you stop him.
Now, what can we do?
I'm opening the mummy case.
We've got to get him out of there. I'll go myself.
Here, come back here, Ken.
Stevenson! I'm looking at the mummy's face. Hey, that's strange. There's something peculiar here.
Come away from that mummy, Stevenson.
Kent! Stevenson! I insist that you both come out of there at once.
But there's something here that I don't understand. There seems to be... Kent, help me.
It's happened. He's choking.
Kent, bring him out here.
I'm trying to. Here. All right, Stevenson. Here, now just lean on me.
Stevenson.
Man, what happened? Here.
I looked at Goofrock.
Oh. He's dead. He's dead!
It's not possible.
The shadow was right.
Yes, gentlemen. Stevenson ignored my warning, but perished. This should convince all of you that there is a ruthless killer masked behind the Kufratep curse.
Ladies and gentlemen, one warning from the shadow strikes fear into the hearts of his adversaries. Yes, and just one skid is enough to put the fear of wet, slippery roads into any motorist's heart.
The shadow knows. The thousands of motorists who are killed or injured every year when slithering skids throw cars out of control would never risk the danger, grief, and expense of riding on unsafe tires if they had another chance.
Motorists, I've already told you that the new Goodrich Silvertown tire will stop you quicker, safer on wet pavements than you've ever stopped before. But you don't have to take my word for it. Here are the facts. Exhaustive road tests of both regular and premium price tires of America's six largest tire manufacturers were made by the nation's largest independent testing laboratory, the Pittsburgh Testing Laboratory. And here's what they found. The new Goodrich Silvertown with Lifesaver tread gave greater skid resistance than any other tire tested. Yes, and that included those tires listed at from 40% to 70% higher in price. The Goodrich Safety Silvertown gave more non-skid mileage than any other tire tested in its own price range. Average, 19.1% more miles before the tires wore smooth. That's performance in any car owner's language. The kind of performance that spells safer, more economical driving for you. Remember, there's double protection in these life-saving Goodrich Silvertowns at no extra cost.
Margot, what did you learn about Stevenson's death?
Well, Lamont, the doctors officially called it influenza.
What about the blood test?
It was the same as the others. The white corpuscles had been destroyed.
Just as I thought. That proves that Stevenson was murdered, too, and by the same instrument.
But, Lamont, what can that instrument be?
It may be a serum, poison gas. I don't know. More important than the killing device is to find the killer's motive.
You found out something, Lamont?
Not exactly, but I saw a man at the museum about whom I should like to know more.
Who is he?
Aldous Kent, an assistant curator. I'm sure that he has more knowledge of this affair than he allows himself to show.
Why do you suspect him?
For several reasons. His apparent concern for Stevenson's safety was a bit overdone. For a scientist, he was surprisingly naive about the Kufratep curse, and most important, in spite of his outward fear, he followed Stevenson into the tomb. I'd like to know more about that man, Margot. And that's where you can help me.
Yes, Lamont, but how?
By visiting Kent as a newspaper woman. Interview him about his career. Find out whether he's interested in any branch of science other than archaeology.
Margot?
Margot?
I saw Aldous Kent.
Yes?
He hasn't always been an archaeologist. He worked at many things.
For instance?
Well, before he went to work for the museum, he was employed as an assistant by Dr. Faber. You know, the well-known biologist.
Very interesting, Margot. I think that's all I'll have to know.
But Lamont, does that have any bearing on the murders?
It may have everything to do with them. I'll be able to answer that question after the shadow pays a call on Dr. Faber.
Dr. Faber.
Eh? What? Who's that?
Don't be startled, Dr. Faber.
Who are you?
I am the Shadow.
Are you in this room? I can't see you.
I regret that I must remain in the shadows.
What do you want?
I am seeking information.
Well?
I would like to have you tell me what you know of Aldous Kent.
Kent? Aldous Kent? Well, he worked for me. He was my assistant for several years.
Yes, I know that, Dr. Faber. What kind of a man was he?
Very efficient laboratory man.
Why did he leave your employ?
Well, frankly, because he was dissatisfied. Kent was a very moody man. He felt that his work should be more fully recognized.
What sort of work did he do?
He was active in all the routine laboratory experiments.
Can you recall what some of those experiments were?
And let me see. Well, he made some really brilliant contributions to our work with the Roentgen ray. That's the X-ray, of course.
Yes, I know. Exactly what were those experiments?
We were varying the ray to determine its effect on animal life.
What was that effect?
Well, at one stage of the game, it was destructive. We developed a ray that was capable of destroying the white corpuscles in the blood of the laboratory animals.
It's enormously interesting, Doctor. Tell me, does such a ray have the same effect on human beings?
Oh, yes. Yes, it probably does.
Thank you, Dr. Faber. You have given me the solution to the mystery of the Khufratep curse.
Certain, Margot, that the machine of death is concealed somewhere within Khufratep's tomb.
But why must you go there tonight?
Because I can investigate without danger of interference. There's no time to be lost.
Well, can't you confront Kent with the information you already have?
Oh, Kent's a clever man. He might give him time to destroy the evidence. Then we could pin nothing on him.
Yes, I see.
If I can uncover the deadly ray and positively identify Kent with it, he can be tricked into capture.
Here's the museum.
You turn in this driveway. It's a precaution. I'll switch off the headlights.
Lamont, I hate to have you going into that tomb alone. It's an eerie-looking place.
No, nothing will happen to me.
Yes, that's what the others thought.
The others weren't aware of the real danger as I am. Hand me the flashlight, Margot.
Here you are.
Thank you.
Wait, what's that over there among the trees?
It appears to be someone carrying a lantern.
He's approaching the tomb. Lamont, who can it be?
Wait, I think I recognize him. Yes, the old watchman.
Oh. Shall you wait now until he goes?
I'm not sure that he's going. He seems to be entering the tomb.
Lamont, isn't it strange after all that's happened that he should dare to enter there alone?
Very strange, and I'm going to find out why. We'll need this flashlight, Margot.
What are you going to do?
It is the Shadow who will enter that tomb for a little conversation with the old watchman.
Shall I wait for him?
No, take the car and return home. Stand by for the shortwave wireless. I may need your help in communicating a message of vital importance.
Good evening, Your Imperial Majesty. I've come again to see that you are resting well. Your work is nearly done. Only one more to gaze into your eyes. And then... then the vengeance is complete.
You have served me well.
Who speaks?
Who indeed would speak within the resting place of the king?
Are you the...
Yes. It is I, Khufratep, Pharaoh of Egypt.
Oh, Your Majesty.
Rise up. You need not kneel in my presence.
Yes, Your Highness.
Do not tremble. You have nothing to fear.
You are not angry?
Angry? Why should I be angry toward one who serves my interests? I have come to reward you.
To reward me?
Yes. But first, I must have an accounting.
Well, What do you mean?
You must tell me how you brought death to the defilers of my tomb by the curse which bears my name.
Oh, the credit is not mine, Your Majesty.
Whose then?
Aldous Kent.
Aldous Kent?
Yes.
Why should he concern himself with me?
It is not your vengeance alone that he seeks, but his own as well, and mine. Kent is a great man, but no one would recognize him. They keep him slaving in the museum day after day, doing all the real work. Some others get the glory, just as they did to me. And now he's evening his score. Hale, Avery, Johnson, Stevenson, all those have paid for their stolen fame. But one more must die. Hawkins. And then Kent will achieve the position that is rightfully his.
Do you know how Kent destroyed those men?
Of course. I helped him, Your Majesty. Yeah, it was clever. So clever. They all scoffed at the legend of your curse, but it was really you who killed them.
I killed them?
Yeah, no one would dream that within your mummy there lies concealed the generator of the ray.
What ray?
The ray that shines from your eyes and destroys all who look upon you.
Show me how this is done.
It's so easy, Your Majesty. Here, hidden here in the wall is a switch. You see? It is thrown like this. Then whoever approaches the mummy case, as I'm doing, and lifts the lid, so, and gazes into your eyes, the gleam of death shines upon them. Oh, what have I done? I didn't mean to look. I couldn't. Save me. Save you.
I cannot save you. Your own evil knowledge has destroyed you. But by your death, you have pointed the way to Aldous Kent's undoing. Margot Lane, communicate with Rapide, the director of the museum, at once. Tell him to arrange the public opening of the tomb tomorrow at grand. Be sure that both Kent and Hawkins will be there. This is important. Margot, tell Rapide that he must follow my directions implicitly. A man's life is at stake.
Before admitting the public, I have invited you, gentlemen of the press, to gather here to dispel once and for all this nonsense about the legend of the Cooper Tepp curse.
Well, just how do you propose to do that?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Burke, as you know, the tradition is that everyone who looks at the face of the mummy dies.
Sure, I know that.
I know that.
Now, this is Mr. Hawkins, gentlemen. He is the sole survivor of the Cooper Tepp expedition.
Yeah, we know Hawkins.
Yeah.
He has volunteered to show you that there is no truth in the stories that your newspapers have played into national prominence.
What's he going to do?
The mummy case will be opened in your presence, and Mr. Hawkins will personally gaze on Cooper Tepp.
Now, this ought to be good.
Are you ready, Mr. Hawkins?
Well, I...
Very well, you may proceed.
Mr. Rafferty, I...
Go ahead, Hawkins.
Mr. Rafferty, I can't. I changed my mind.
What?
What do you know?
But, Mr. Hawkins, do you realize what this means?
Yes, Hawkins, you must go through with it.
I'm afraid not, Kent. I've lost my nerve.
The prestige of the museum is at stake.
Well, you seem to have changed your attitude, Kent.
Well, I disapproved of this plan at the beginning, but as long as you've gone this far, I think you should carry it out.
Well, Kent is right.
Well, I'm sorry, but... Well, when I think of the others, what happened to them, and seeing them die, I just
well,
can't...
Well, boys, looks like the show's over. Let's
yeah.
go.
Wait, gentlemen, don't leave.
Now, Mr. Hawkins, if I volunteer to look on the mummy's face first, will you follow me?
Well, I...
That's certainly fair enough, Hawkins.
Very well.
Have I your permission to open the mummy case, Mr. Rafferty?
Yes, you have.
You're very brave, Mr. Kent.
Who's that?
It's the Shadow.
The Shadow? Boy, what a yarn this is going to be.
Shadow, why are you here?
I anticipated your performance, Mr. Kent. and I came to see that it was carried out properly.
What do you mean by that?
Before you proceed, I suggest that somebody throw the switch concealed in the carving on the wall.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do know, Mr. Kent. I want your demonstration to duplicate Hale's, Stevenson's, and the others. The switch was thrown then.
Oh, this is absurd.
Here it is. I found the switch.
Please turn it on, Mr. Rafferty.
There you are. It's on.
Good. Now you may continue your little performance, Mr. Kent.
This whole thing is ridiculous. I refuse to be made a fool of.
Are you trying to back out, Kent?
I will not continue under these conditions.
I thought you wouldn't. You know that to look on the mummy's face when the switch is on would mean death.
That is not true.
But it is. And no one should know better than you. Concealed within that mummy is a murderous ray. That ray is your own conception.
That's a lie. There is no ray.
Then why don't you look on Kuprotep now?
Because I...
Then you shall be forced to do so.
Oh, no. No.
Rafferty, Hawkins, beat him to the mummy case.
Come on. No. I won't. Let go of it. Let go.
Somebody left the lid of the case.
Let it go. I won't look.
Now, Aldous Kent, stare long into the eyes of Kuprotep. Do you see the evil light that glows within them? That's what the others saw.
No. I did it. I killed him, I confess. I killed him, but don't make me look at it. Ah!
He's dead.
Then it's true. There is a ray.
Not any longer, gentlemen. I removed the machinery that generated that ray. All that you have just seen was carefully staged to trap Aldous Kent. He is dead. He died of fear. Fear of the thing which he himself created. You have all witnessed the end of the curse of Kufratep. A curse which fell justly on the true desecrator of the tomb.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine, now on sale at your local newsstand.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our original storytelling podcasts and for all things suspense, horror, and weird, check out CrypticCountyPodcasts.com, where you'll find shows like Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, and Odd Trails, a true paranormal podcast. We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.